Alleluia. Inizia ad adorare il tuo pastore, perché sta un po' sopra, andiamo a lavorare, che è un momento, che è una gioia,
speaking. Is someone praying? Whether you're following online or you're following here, please go ahead and pray. Someone is praying. We ask you for wisdom. We ask you for strength. We ask you for power.
Let the weight of your glory fall. Let it cover all. Let the weight of your glory fall. Let it cover all the earth. Let it cover all the earth. Let it cover all the earth.
Let this be no ordinary. ordinary service. In the name of Jesus, open our eyes to see, open our ears that we may hear, and incline our hearts to understand. And let Jesus be glorified. For in the mighty name of Jesus, I pray. God bless you. You may please be seated. May I request that you please lend me your attention as we explore this very deep and mysterious subject, discussing the Holy Spirit. We have invested a lot of time to study many things in life. Our world is full of people who have dedicated years, decades to study concepts, to study ideas. People have received professional certifications as a testament of their diligence. We have people who are professors, doctors across several fields, and we call them authorities when it has to do with discussing certain things. Some are even Nobel laureates. They have received all kinds of awards. They have gotten global recognitions because of investing their lives to study ideas, concepts, laws, etc. And it's interesting that none of these things come close to defining who the Holy Spirit is. Because when it has to do with the subject of the Holy Spirit, no amount of intellectual acumen will be able to suffice giving it an adequate definition. The Holy Spirit does not reside in the realm of science, nor the realm of logic. And so it will take us outsourcing intelligence beyond this realm to truly understand by the Spirit the whole concept of the Spirit. Hallelujah. It is interesting that for you to understand anything in the kingdom, this Holy Spirit we are talking about has to be the agency that assists your understanding. Now you are studying Him, the one who helps you reveal, the one who helps you understand. It will take the grace of God to truly understand Him. No wonder we call Him oil. No wonder we call Him a bird. No wonder we call Him wind. No wonder we call Him fire. Others simply call Him mysterious. It's all an attempt to describe how complicated the subject of the Spirit will be if you approach it just from a standpoint of intellect. This is why I ask us to ask the Lord for mercy. So that at the end of this, it will not just be an intellectual discussion. The Holy Spirit is God. And we're about to explore a few things that will help and strengthen our Christian life. Are we ready? Thank you, Jesus. I wrote a statement here that I want to start with, and I want you to please listen and then write. That God desires that we know Him. God, as mysterious and as mighty as God is, He desires to be known. He wants His children, He wants believers, He wants the saints to know Him. And then, in addition to knowing Him, He wants us to partake of and reveal the limitless possibilities that come with this life that we have received. That means in our dealings with God, it's important for us as a foundation tonight to know that God does not pride Himself in mysticism. In as much as He's mighty, in as much as He's mysterious, He desires that the saints understand Him. Are we together? In fact, Jeremiah had this to say. He said, "Let not the rich man boast in his wealth or riches. Let not the strong man in his strength. Let not the wise man in his wisdom." He says, "Let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth him." So the pride of the believer in this kingdom is not just the accumulation of material things, as important as that is. It is not just intellectual achievements and accomplishments. The zenith of the believer's pride in this kingdom is knowing that you have a functional knowledge of God. Hallelujah. Are we still together? So that God desires for us to know Him. And then number two, He desires that in and through our lives, that our lives become an effulgence of the limitless possibilities that are captured in this Zoe life. We teach about it, we sing about it, we advocate it, but He wants that which is locked up, the full potential that is locked up within the believer, to find expression. Are we together? This is very important. The second thing I want us to know is that there is a certain way, there is a protocol that the believer should follow in learning God. If you compromise on that pattern and that protocol, there is an idea about God you will have that will not be accurate. Believers are not given the liberty to arbitrarily seek the knowledge of God. Like anything in life, you will have to follow a predefined protocol if your knowledge is to be constructive. Am I communicating? So because what we have largely, unfortunately, in the body of Christ is that people freelance their knowledge, any information that sounds spiritual. So we pick here a little, there a little, and all kinds of disjointed fragments. At the end of it, it paints a picture about God that is inaccurate. There is a pathway a believer should follow in learning God. And if you so follow that pathway, there is an idea about God that you will have that will be both accurate and provable. Hallelujah. Yes. Imagine with me, for instance, a student saying in the high institution of learning, we have several colleges and several faculties, as we know. Imagine a student who takes at random a lecture from, let's say, the faculty of medicine. Tomorrow he chooses at will to go to theater arts. Next tomorrow he goes to, say, engineering. Then he goes to environmental sciences. Then any other, maybe admin. Now, that person, the knowledge he's learning is not a waste, but he cannot be awarded the certificate at the end. What is wrong with his pursuit? It is random. It is not sequential. It is not methodical. Are we together? So most believers, our Christian experiences are barren without the capacity to prove the reality of the things we believe and propose. And the reason is because lastly, there is no sequence to our learning God. There is a pathway defined for the believer that in pursuit of God and in pursuit of spiritual things. There is an exact pathway. Is it not in your Bible? Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse 16. Please give it to us. I'm just putting this as a foundation so that tonight and all the sessions that are coming, they will be able to guide us to really understand the full import of the subject we're discussing. Jeremiah 6, 16. Will I have it projected? It says to stand in the way and ask for the ancient path. That's what the Bible says there. And it says that when you find it, you should walk in it and you will find rest for your souls. So attaining a Sabbath in the spirit, which is a state of rest, is not arbitrary. The Bible says you have to ask for the ancient path. Where is the good way? And then it says when you find it, walk in it. And if you do walk in it, you will find rest. Hallelujah. That means my life and your life will eventually be a capture of the accuracy, of the degree of accuracy as far as following the pathway that ultimately leads to learning God. No wonder Jesus said, I am the way. Is that in your Bible? Then he says, I am the truth. And he says, I am the life. But if you are to dissect that statement accurately, he was not just saying, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. He's connecting the pathway that eventually leads to life. That when you want to find life, the first thing you need is the way. Then the way leads you to reality, the truth. And when you encounter the truth, it will bring you to that third dimension, which is life. So it's not that you choose the way, or you choose the truth, or you choose life. He's saying if you find the way, you have found the path that leads you to truth. Are we together now? And that dwelling in the realm of truth will eventually minister life.
If we are still together, say amen.
Yeah.
So I've said two things already. Let me do a quick recap. Number one, that God desires to be known. You must have that at the back of your mind. Otherwise, you will be frustrated by the complicated ideas about God and the Holy Spirit. Trying to understand the triune nature of God is enough to annoy and frustrate you. Until you have this at the back of your mind, that God wants to be known. That means every contribution and every effort to knowing Him, He will be more than willing to back your desire to know Him. And then number two, I said that there is a predefined pathway the believer must follow. In fact, I think it's Leviticus chapter 9 and verse 6. Let's try that scripture. Please give it to us. That when you want to see the glory of God revealed, the Lord was speaking to Moses in Leviticus chapter 9. I'd like us to read it if you can. It says, then Moses said, this is the thing which the Lord commanded that you should do. And then he says, and the glory of the Lord will appear unto you. The glory of the Lord always comes when His patterns are kept. That means the patterns of God forerun His glory. You will never see a manifestation of God's glory until you walk in keeping with His patterns. When you see the glory of God in a man's finances, you see the glory of God in an organization. It only means that certain spiritual patterns have been kept. The same way, if you see the bankruptcy of glory in any aspect of your life, it is safe to suggest that there might be gaps as far as understanding and applying certain kingdom patterns is there. Are we together now? Yes. There is a certain protocol the believer should follow if you are to know God correctly. I wrote down here that the confusions, the frustrations, and barrenness of genuine results may be attributed to the gaps in our learning God. That means if we are to do an honest appraisal of our lives, we will find out gaps here and there. And I'm explaining that there are answers to those gaps. Those gaps are an attestation. They prove that there is something. There is an incomplete approach in our knowledge of God and the patterns of the kingdom. Hallelujah. Because the destiny of the believer, according to scripture, is found in Genesis chapter 24 and verse 1. When you read Genesis 24 and verse 1, it gives us a portrait of God's expectation for the believer. Let's read together. The Bible says that Abraham was old. Is that in your Bible? And well stricken in age. Read on. It says, and the Lord had blessed him in all things. Not some things, in all things. That there is such a possibility in the life of the believer that every aspect of your life can be an effulgence of the glory of God. And this is predicated upon the accuracy of the pathway you follow. Hallelujah. Most believers are victims of the gaps in our spiritual knowledge. So we know this a little. We know that a little, we know this a little, we know that a little. And let me tell you the truth. I think, in my opinion, only second to complete ignorance. Limited knowledge is dangerous. Limited knowledge is dangerous because you are neither here nor there. You cannot attain a realm of mastery, yet you are not exactly ignorant. Are we together now? Yes. When you meet someone who is completely ignorant, that person will most likely be in a position where you can now begin to feed them with knowledge. When you meet someone who has attained a state of mastery, you can see it justified by the results that follow. But when you meet someone who has limited knowledge, he has something to say to the ignorant, and he has something to argue with to the master, but he does not have results. In 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 2, we'll read one scripture, and then, can you imagine that I've not even begun to talk about the Holy Spirit? I just wanted us to lay this foundation. 1 Corinthians 8 and verse 2. Let's read together. One, two, read, please. He says he knows nothing yet as he ought to know. Take note of the word yet. Yet means it is not yet your reality, but it could be. That if any man thinks he knows anything, that is why we must truly celebrate the humility of our Father God servant for making this kind of conference available and then bringing people to supply greater levels of knowledge. Hallelujah. There's a story that has instructed me graciously through the years, and there's no time to discuss that, but I'll just use it to buttress on this point. It's found in Acts chapter 18, when you begin to read from verse 24 down to 28. The Bible talks about a man there called Apollos. The Bible says he was born at Alexandria. The Bible begins to give us the credentials of such a man. He says he was fervent in spirit. He was mighty in scripture. This was such an intelligent man, the kind of person you would want to make the pastor of any church. But the Bible says he knew only the baptism of John. As fervent, as zealous, as powerful, submitted himself under mentorship, no trace of rebellion, solid character. The only challenge with this gentleman is he knew only. Many believers are like that, fasting sincerely, praying sincerely, coming to church sincerely. The only limitation is knowing only. And one day he came for a conference like this, and whilst he began to teach, there were two mysterious people in the congregation who, from the lens of mastery, were watching the ignorance of this zealous young man. The Bible called them Aquila and Priscilla. After the conference, with every sense of love, the Bible says they called him to themselves and they expounded to him the way of the kingdom more perfectly. If you want to benefit as a principle in dealing with God, you must come to that state where you are unashamed about pressing for greater knowledge. You must throw away every trace of pride and ego, and I know it well. You must approach God with a heart that is malleable. And you must be willing to declare your disloyalty to age-long ideas that may be a lie. A lie is anything that is not consistent with the character and the nature of God. Are we together now? This is important because sometimes we have a lot of loyalty to things that may be appealing, even sociologically so. But when you look at them from the lens of the integrity of Scripture, they might be the reasons why we are not able to rise to higher dimensions in the Spirit. An example of such is the ministry of the Holy Spirit. As popular as the Holy Spirit is among believers, we are going to be learning tonight, hopefully, how that many believers are still in a level of disturbing ignorance as to the knowledge of this person and his ministry. And it has nothing to do with being good or bad. It is that it takes a lot of intention and determination to explore the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. So let's talk about the Holy Spirit now. Theologically speaking, or generally as revealed from the ministry of Jesus, and if you listen to my teaching, you may have heard me teach this, that there are four encounters that the Bible recommends for any believer that must become a person of stature and might in the Spirit. So, when you get saved, like I said earlier on, there is a protocol you must follow to learning God and exploring the ways of the Spirit. And I will run them quickly. Four biblical encounters. If these encounters are not captured in your Christian experience, based on the integrity of Scripture, it cannot be said you are a mature believer. That maturity in the kingdom is not just measured by longevity of your being around kingdom activities. There was a man who was 38 years at Bethesda. Longevity of that time did not culminate to his perfection. There was something that he could not do for 38 years, even though he was there. Are we together now? Yes. This is very important. Four encounters. Number one, the first encounter in order of priority that anyone must have. That means if we are vetting your Christian experience, these are the biblical indices that we use to vet. If you say, I am a Christian, we have no right to criticize you, but we are going to probe what you have said you are on the strength of these encounters. Encounter number one is an encounter with Jesus, the Son of the Living God. This is the first encounter in order of priority. If you have not had this encounter according to Scripture, you are not saved. You may be around church, respectfully speaking, you may be around Christian activities, you may even participate in Christian activities. But the Bible declares, it says, this is the record Apostle John taught us, that God has given us eternal life, the way we call it. But he said this life was so structured that the administration of this life is such that you cannot receive it outside of the Son of God. It says, he that had the Son, not he that had a sermon, not he that had a preacher. These are all conduits, channels. The ultimate goal is to encounter Jesus, the Son of the Living God. So in vetting your Christian experience, we will have to verify whether you have encountered the Son. The first encounter. Sadly and respectfully speaking, there are many, many believers who have not encountered Jesus, the Son of God. You may have encountered an apostle, you may have encountered a prophet, which is profitable. You may have encountered a church, which is profitable. You may have encountered a Christian book, you may have encountered the Bible, but none of these aforementioned is equal to the Son. Jesus the Son must be encountered. Number two, the second encounter is an encounter with the person and the ministry of the Holy Spirit. When you encounter Jesus, the Son of the Living God, the next encounter that brings a defining moment in your Christian experience is an encounter with the person and the ministry. Please take note, the person and the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And I'll be discussing a bit on that within the time that I have. Number three, for sake of time, the third encounter that every believer must have to be mature and to be of stature in the Spirit is that you must encounter the Word of God. The Word of God, not as a person now, the Word of God as a compendium of the modus operandi of the kingdom. The Word of God as a compendium of the mysteries of the kingdom. Matthew 13 and verse 11, Jesus was speaking, mentoring the disciples, and he said, it has been given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom. It has been given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom. Hallelujah. You need an encounter with the Word of God. The Word of God, the Logos of God, so that you can learn the ways of God. One of the ways that we know God is through the study of Scripture, because Scripture reveals His character. The Bible essentially contains three things in knowing God. Number one, it contains promises. Number two, it contains principles. Number three, it contains prophecies. So every time you open your Bible, you are having an encounter with the promises of God, the principles of the kingdom, and prophecies that are like a compass that gives the believer direction and hope. Are we still together? So I have mentioned three encounters. Number one, the Son of the Living God, Jesus. Number two, the person and the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Number three, encounter with the Word of God, the Logos of God. The fourth encounter is a very rare one, unfortunately. Very few people have the opportunity to have this encounter in their lifetime. Encounter with the body of Christ. The fourth encounter that every believer must have if you are to attain unto stature and balance is an encounter with the body of Christ. There's no time to talk about this, but the body of Christ is a very mysterious entity. We know it as the church, the Catholic Church, the universal church. We know it as the body of believers. But it's not as wonderful as it is to know God. There is something about his body that you must know. And that failure to discern the body has consequences. It was Apostle Paul who was teaching. He used the mystery of the communion. And he was teaching the believers in Corinth about the body of Christ. And he said, not discerning the body of Christ can have consequences. He said, for this cause, many are weak, limited. For this cause, what cause? The sin of not discerning the body. For this cause, many are weak. And he said, for this cause, many sleep. Are we still together? Now let's discuss the Holy Spirit. Who is he? Who is the Holy Spirit? My focus tonight, for sake of time, is the ministry of the Holy Spirit. It will take us days, I believe, and thank God there are other speakers coming by the Spirit of God who will communicate different dimensions of this truth. But my focus tonight is on the ministry of the Holy Spirit. I'm discussing less about his personhood because it's going to take a lot. But generally, it's important for you to know that the Holy Spirit is God. It's a very simple statement, but you must have your conviction based on Scripture. Acts chapter 5, the Holy Spirit is God. Let's read verse 3 and 4. The Holy Spirit is God. Now this was, remember, it was the culture of the early church to sell their properties and bring all of the proceeds and drop it at the apostles' feet so that no one would lack. You know, and here we have a gentleman and his wife, Ananias and Sapphira, and they sold their land and kept back some of the money. So Peter is rebuking them now. We're just reading 3 and 4. Watch this. Verse 3 now. But Peter said, Ananias, he said, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit? So who did he lie to? The Holy Spirit. Take note now. And keep back part of the price of the land for yourself. Verse 4. While it remained, was it not your own? And after it was sold, he said, was it not in your own control? Why have you conceived this thing in your heart? Now, he said, you have not lied to men, but to God. So Peter here is revealing. Remember, Peter was mentored by Jesus himself. So we trust his judgment and we trust his understanding of the kingdom. He said, you have lied against the Holy Spirit and you have lied against God. We know that the Holy Spirit is God. In fact, he is the first of the Trinity to be revealed in Scripture according to Genesis chapter 1. The Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Verse 2 says, now the earth was dark, void, and formless. Is the Hebrew word tohu, confusion and chaos. Then it says, and the Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit of God, hovered around the face of the waters. We see that the Holy Spirit was the first dimension of the Godhead revealed. Are we together now? Very, very important. Now, theologically speaking, the Holy Spirit has a threefold ministry. Let's just go straight to the point. The Holy Spirit has a threefold ministry. And this is where I want to dwell. The Bible teaches us that the Holy Spirit has a threefold ministry. Ministry number one is to the entire creation. The first ministry of the Holy Spirit is not just to men, it's to the entire creation. The Spirit of God is the life force. He is the very life of God. And I want you to know that the relevance of the Holy Spirit is not just to men. Many people feel the Holy Spirit does not have any role or any assignment to plants and animals. Did you know that before air, before sunlight, before any other thing was mentioned, his presence was mentioned? That was the reason why every other thing had life. That means when you withdraw the Holy Spirit on earth today, leave the sun, leave the moon, leave oxygen, not only men, men and every other thing will die. This is a very difficult thing, and I hope that many years to come, if Christ tarries, science will one day be able to scientifically prove the relevance of the Holy Spirit as touching creation. So, I need you to understand that the presence of the Holy Spirit on earth is not just for believers alone. The Holy Spirit is the very factor why everything remains. Destroying the earth is a very simple matter. All it takes is for the spirit of life to be withdrawn. That's it. No other factor needs to be altered. The moment the spirit of life, even for Jesus to die, the Holy Spirit just needed to leave him. That was it. For as long as the Holy Spirit was united with the world, even when they took him to a cliff, he walked through them. But when the Holy Spirit left him, he could not die. That was why he came back after the third day, in that same spirit that raised Christ from the dead. Is that not in your Bible? Are we learning already? So it's important for you to know that when you see plants growing, that is the ministry of the Holy Spirit. If you see the oceans moving in synergy, don't you think it's just a product, a happenstance? No. The Holy Spirit is the very life force. We may give all kinds of scientific names, but let God be true and all men liars. Ladies and gentlemen, leave the plans, leave technology the way it is. You just withdraw the presence of the Holy Spirit on earth. And that's it. No wonder we now understand how the darkness in Genesis 1 and verse 2 came. Because to restore everything, even God did not speak until he verified that the Holy Spirit was there. It was after he was there, God now said, and there was. Are we together? So the first ministry of the Holy Spirit is to the entire creation. Hallelujah. Amazing. Amazing. No wonder you can sit near an ocean, you can sit near a river, and all of a sudden you begin to think of the goodness of God and the mercy of God, because there is something about the nature of God within that environment that can minister to you. Isn't it amazing that when people are depressed and frustrated, even medical science will advise them and say, leave all this noise and go to a place. You may not carry a Bible or a hymn book, but you just sit in an environment that has minimal interruption, that can allow the Holy Spirit to find expression even within nature, and it can even heal you physically. Do you agree with that? The second assignment of the Holy Spirit is to unbelievers. Now, Jesus spent a major part of his ministry mentoring the disciples who would later become apostles. Isn't it incredible the kind of ministry of Jesus? You can learn so many things, so many leadership principles that Jesus was so busy, but if you calculate in the scripture, most of his time was spent building people more than crusades. There were crusades, there were healing meetings, but most of the defining moments as recorded in scripture was either a one-on-one conversation or a very strong mentorship session. So we see that in one of those sessions, Jesus began to teach them, especially John's synoptic account. John began to teach, to tell us that Jesus was talking of the Holy Spirit, and our Father, Bishop Mike Okonkwo, when he was reading it, I said, this is excellent. John, let's revisit that scripture again. John chapter 16 from verse 8. Jesus is teaching now. John 16 and verse 8. And when he has come, the Spirit of God now, he will convict the world. The world. So he has a ministry to unbelievers. Every unbeliever on earth, from America to Europe to China, the Middle East, every unbeliever if a bona fide should enjoy this dimension of the Holy Spirit's ministry, he does it in partnership with the saints. Hallelujah now. Yes. The word evangelization that we talk about is the ministry of the Holy Spirit, but in partnership with the saints. And there is a reason for that. Because we have become an extension and a habitation of his house. So everywhere you go, it is the Holy Spirit going through you. You see. He says, back to that scripture please. When he has come, he will convict the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Then Jesus says, of sin, because they do not believe in me. So the sin here is unbelief. Number two, he says, next verse now, of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Verse three, he says, of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. So Jesus told us that when you see the Holy Spirit on earth, realize he's not just there to serve creation alone, but that every unbeliever on earth, the Holy Spirit is ministering to them. And I tell you, as we begin to set the pace for the return of Jesus, we are going to see that ministry in the life of unbelievers like never before. You would see people break down in malls, hospitals, in their rooms, and with no human participation. Unfortunately, because many people are not determined to see to it that the gospel gets to the ends of the earth. And the Holy Spirit in his might and power, like he did to Saul of Tarsus, will continue to convict men and the unbelieving world. Because the Bible says only a fool will say in his heart there is no God. We live in a world today, unfortunately, where across the nations of the earth there is a growing decline in spiritual conviction. It's being replaced. There is a whole demography that is very vocal about their refusal of God. And it is a dangerous thing. I pray that it will not happen in our lifetime, that we will see a people that will vocally reject God and say, as a nation and as people, we reject God. The Bible said, blessed is any nation whose God is the Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ. So the Holy Spirit has a ministry to creation, and he has a ministry to unbelievers. Do you know what this means? That means any unbeliever you see around, no matter how stubborn, no matter how arrogant, I can assure you by the integrity of scripture, there is something, there are tokens around the life of that man, pointers by the Spirit. Are we together now? They may be under the influence of liquor or drugs or all kinds of things, but at a point in their life, they find themselves resorting to sit down and say, why is my life like this? That very factor convicting them is the Holy Spirit. And I assure you, he's patient enough to follow them. This is bringing hope to someone. Maybe you have a child and you are now wondering, why will I give birth to a child and in my lifetime, I watch this child become so antichrist that is an embarrassment completely against my conviction. Do not give up. The Holy Spirit is still working in that child. And one day, that child will follow his friends and meander a conference like this and just sit quietly, and that will be the end of it. Do you believe that? The hymn writer says, thank you, oh my Father, for giving us your Son. Leaving your Spirit, your work on earth is done. Can we sing it one more time? Thank you, oh my Father, for giving us your Son and leaving your Spirit, your work on earth is done. Hear me, man of God, evangelist. As you stand with that sinner talking to the person, you are not alone. Before you got there, the Holy Ghost was already working. I'm encouraging someone who has been thinking, I talk to people and it looks like they are not listening.
The Holy Ghost has an assignment to every unbeliever. That means you must be hopeful about people. No matter the level of decadence, if God could use Paul, if God could use all kinds of people, He is a master at picking people from nothing and bringing glory out of their lives. And in the name of Jesus, as we prepare for the return of Christ, we will see some of the most unusual people heralding the gospel, that you knew this person to be a disaster, maybe an armed robber, and now fire falls upon them, refined by the power of God. There will be this group of people as a testament that the Holy Spirit is working. You believe that? Shout aloud, amen. But now this is a believers' conference, so let's talk to ourselves now. The third assignment of the Holy Spirit as revealed from Scripture is His ministry to believers. And this is where I'll spend a few minutes and then we pray. I recap one more time that the Holy Spirit's first assignment and ministry is to the entire creation as the life force. Number two, to unbelievers, convicting them, the Bible says, of sin, righteousness, and judgment. Hallelujah. Number three, the Holy Spirit's ministry to believers. A bulk of His ministry lies right here, because the believer is the most aligned personality that can work in partnership with the Holy Spirit to birth and to advance the purposes of God. This is the reason why the greater part of the Holy Spirit's investment is in the life of the believer. An unbeliever is God's creation, but because of his state of disalignment, God cannot do much with him as far as birthing his eternal purposes are concerned. Are we together now? The most aligned vessel that can be used. Remember, the Bible says in a great house there are all kinds of vessels. Praise the name of the Lord. Are we learning? So, let's explore very quickly his ministry to believers. And for our discussion tonight, I will just run through about five of his ministry to unbelievers. Five, very quickly. Number one, the first ministry of the Holy Spirit to the believer is to provide guidance and direction. Please write it down. Inasmuch as the Holy Spirit plays a vital role. In fact, I hope you realize that what you call eternal life is actually Him. It's not just what He brings. When you receive Jesus Christ, the personality that comes to live in you in honor to that confession is not Jesus. The personality that comes to live with you to honor that confession is the Spirit of God. Jesus today, the Bible declares, is seated at the right hand of the Father. Is that true? But an extension of His ministry, the Holy Spirit has come, is the Greek word aras, alos, parakletos. That means an extension of the same kind. Jesus said, "For He is with you and shall be in you." This is what He taught. So, every time you call the name of Jesus, the personality that answers to that name is the Holy Spirit. His first assignment to believers, please write, guidance and direction. Guidance and direction. Two scriptures very quickly. Acts chapter 16, please, from verse 12 to 14. Acts chapter 16. You would notice that I love working with scripture, because I do not trust anything that is outside of the jurisdiction of Scripture. The boundary of God's commitment to the believer is His Word. Hallelujah. Outside of the jurisdiction of God's Word, there is no guarantee for God's commitment. And then Scripture is the basis for the believer's conviction. Your conviction has to be grounded on something. If it's not grounded on Scripture, it will be grounded on culture, superstition, and just wise sayings that do not carry any power. Are we together now? So, just saying I believe is not enough. There must be a basis for your believing. Alright, so it says, and from there, did I get that right? Acts chapter 16, from verse 12 to 14. Let's look at 13. I hope I did not 14. The Holy Ghost spoke to them. Did I miss that scripture? No. I think I've missed the scripture. Let's try Acts 13 and verse 2. Acts 13 and verse 2. Acts chapter 13 and verse 2. The Bible says, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, directing them now separate to me Barnabas and separate to me Paul for the work which I have called them to do. The Holy Ghost was responsible for providing that guidance and that direction. Let me tell you the difference between guidance and direction. To direct, listen please, to direct means to give you a picture of your end with respect to your goal. To guide means to show you the steps to get there. So direction focuses on the end. Are we together? But guidance focuses on the process. So if I'm directing you out of this church, this is what I will say. There are three doors here. You can use any of them. Say, for instance, just go straight and then turn left and you are out. That is not guidance. That is direction. When I begin to guide you now, I teach you that there is a staircase here. You may fall. Even though you know where you are going, if you are not guided, you can have direction. Direction without guidance does not guarantee your arrival. Are we together now? So you need to be both directed and guided. Most of us, what we are praying for now is not direction. You already have an idea that God has spoken to you that you are a kingdom financier, and He's told you, okay, real estate is the business that will lift you. That is direction. But has He guided you? Are we together? I pray God is speaking to someone.
Yes.
Direction focuses on the end, the goal. Guidance now shows you the steps. And thou shalt hear a voice from behind. Is that in your Bible? Saying, this is the way. Walk ye in it and you will find rest for your souls. It says, thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Take note. Path and feet. Path and feet. Path and feet. You can have light in your path, but if you do not have light in your feet, you are not directed. You are not guided. The Spirit of the living God guides believers. Jesus Himself said so. Hallelujah. John chapter 16. My apologies. The scripture we looked at first was John. I think typing I put at mistakenly. John chapter 16 from verse 12. Jesus Himself said, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. Why can't you bear them? Let me tell you something. Do you know the other things that Jesus was saying here? He said, I have many things to tell you. What are the other things? Read the book of Acts, read the book of Galatians, Ephesians, Corinthians. Those were the other things He wanted them to know. But they did not have, you needed the Holy Ghost to be in you to understand that part of the lecture. Jesus said, there are many other information that will come. So when Paul came, he came with authority as one mandated to bring those other things that Jesus said would come. So, I have many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. 13. However, King James says, how be it, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He says He will guide you into... Look at this scripture very carefully. That means having the truth alone can still destroy you. You need to be guided to understand and to use it well. Because you are not the only one who uses the truth. Satan too uses the truth. In fact, he depends on the truth to lie. There is no basis of lying without knowing the truth. So, it is not only you who waits for the word. Satan uses the word also. He did that to Adam, he did that, and Eve, he did the same thing to Jesus. It is written, I know it too. Are we together? So he says, having the truth is not enough, that when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you, not into truth, into all truth. There are dimensions to truth. Your truth may not be all the truth. In fine art, there is what we call perspective. Is that true? When you draw. So, you can tell an individual to draw, looking this direction and capture this church. If you ask me to draw from here, you are not going to see pastor, you are not going to see those who are here. And if I have to depend on your drawing to interpret what is happening in this building, there are many things that will not be captured. So the Bible says you need the Holy Spirit. He is the one who will show you the other side that culture may not show you. He will show you the other side that your well-meaning, you know, Christian experience may not show you. There are many dimensions of truth that may not be as at yet captured in our Christian experience, but needed for our overall excellence. It is the assignment of the Holy Spirit to guide you into all truth. 14, it says, He will tell you things to come that you will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and he will declare unto you. Jesus is speaking with confidence that when the Holy Spirit comes, number one, he is the Spirit of truth. So trust his guidance, he's saying, that he will guide you into all truth. I wish I had time to pause here and reflect in my own life. If you are not guided, to show you the truth also means to show you the future. Hallelujah. Because you see, what is now, according to Scripture, is not what will be in the next 10 years. The Holy Spirit, as a businessman, can tell you the realities that will happen if you were to suggest 20 years ago how the world will be now. You will most likely fail woefully. Am I right on that? But the paraclete of God, knowing the future, the Holy Spirit does not depend on prophecy to know the future. He is God. He can start leading you to a path that looks strange, but you will be light years ahead of many before they catch up. You see, you are not just going to follow civilization. You will literally create it. The man who invented the internet that has changed the world today, they were not following a path. No, they literally shaped the civilization of a generation by inventing, bringing in an idea. Is someone learning? The ministry of guidance. There are many of us right now, respectfully speaking, the troubles that we have gone through in various shades are proof, if you are to be honest, that we ignored his guidance. Can I tell you, in this end time, the guidance of the Holy Spirit may mean the difference between life and death. Because there is a limitation in all men. Naturally speaking, we walk based on the sense realm. And the Bible says there is a way that seemeth right unto a man. Please listen, dear people of God. There is a way that seems right. Seem means it's a limitation of your mind and your perspective. It is not right, but it seems right. And the trouble is you can be following that path for 10 years. It's after 10 years you will know you were wrong. So the Holy Spirit can save you wasting your time, because destiny is a function of time. Listen carefully. You do not have all the time to keep making mistakes and correcting it. You will spend your whole life archiving mistakes and their various answers, not living an effective life. The Holy Spirit can save a lot of people trouble if they would listen to him. But we live in a world today where we see him just as a religious luggage that we just have to carry since he came together with Jesus. And we now carry, and we assume that kind of mindset, and we feel the Holy Spirit has nothing to tell me about my life, my church, my family, my business. After all, he's some kind of religious person. We are facing money issues here. We are facing common sense issues here. And he stands like in the similitude of that dove that he is, watching you frustrate the wisdom that can change your life, redefine possibilities in your life. And some of us, with our childishness, childlikeness, and foolishness altogether, we embraced him because there was no alternative. And we embraced him and said, if you can lead me, I'm stupid enough to follow. And he says, follow me. And all that we keep seeing is a world of beauty and glory, mysteriously so, continuously so. Let me tell you the truth. The Holy Spirit can turn anything. If he turned darkness to light, he can turn any destiny listen to me. You have given things of lesser value a chance to guide you. Why don't you in this conference open up your heart fully and say, I am tired of trusting statistics as important as they are. I am tired of trusting the figment of men's imagination. Spirit of the living God, you were not introduced to the earth after creation. You were the reason why it happened. The Bible says, in the beginning, God, before science, in the beginning, God, before intellect, in the beginning, God, before internet. Don't change the formula. In every beginning, in the beginning of your business, God, not a shop, not supermarket, not a loan, not capital. In the beginning, God. In the beginning of your marriage, God. When you compromise that formula, you stand the risk of not being guided. There is a way that seemeth right. Jesus had this to say about Satan, that he can appear as an angel of light. Do you know what that means? You can be deceived sincerely thinking you are in the will of God. And for many years you will go around in circles hoping you are right, only to find out that there are many people today in old age angry and they wonder, it looks like they were scammed and cheated by life, because Satan, the Bible calls him a thief, never calls him a friend. John 10:10, that the thief cometh not but for to steal. Do you know what that means? Before he comes, he has to verify whether there is something in your life worth stealing, worth killing, and worth destroying. That his presence in your life is proof already to you that there is something worth stealing, killing, and destroying. The Spirit of the living God, given by God, available to guide believers. The first expression of guidance of the Spirit we see in the Bible happened in Matthew chapter 4. We don't have time for that. The Bible says, as soon as Jesus, is it in your Bible, that when Jesus was baptized of John, declared to be the Son of God, the next thing the Bible says is, and the Spirit drove him to the wilderness. How do you go to the wilderness after such a glorious moment? You've now been ordained. You should go to the city, not the wilderness. This is the Holy Spirit for you. Sometimes after powerful moments, the city may not be where to go. He may tell you, go to the wilderness. It may not make sense, but that is where you will return with power. Is someone learning already? So guidance and direction. Number two, very quickly. What is the second ministry of the Holy Spirit to the believer? The Holy Spirit, according to Scripture, is the revealer of the will and the word of God. The Holy Spirit is the revealer of the will and the word of God. I wish I had the time to discuss this issue of the will of God. Because you see, the primary assignment of the power of God is to bring you and to keep you within the jurisdiction of God's will. The immunity of the believer is within the jurisdiction of God's will. Satan's assignment is to have a basis to attack you by taking you out of the will of God, either through deception or through ignorance. Are we together now? Provided you are within the will of God, your immunity stands. Provided you are within the will of God, the full potential of your Christian experience will continue to manifest. So when Satan comes to destroy, he does not just destroy or strike you, either through whatever means. He has a plethora of options to deviate you to come outside the will of God. The power of God has an assignment to bring you from wherever you are into the will of God. That is the assignment of the power of God. Everything functions in the kingdom with respect to the will of God. Please do not forget this. Everything functions in the kingdom with respect to the will of God. Your excelling in life is not just based on your ability to think or to create a course of a pathway for yourself, as important as that is. It is the degree to which you are aligned to the will of God per time, per season. That is the degree to which you excel. Jesus himself, when he came, watch this. He said, The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, Luke chapter 4, when you read from verse 15. It was a manifesto of his reason for coming. Paul reiterating why Jesus came, he said, "Lo, I come in the volume of the book to do thy will, not to do my bidding." Even Jesus in Gethsemane said, "Father, if it be thy will, let this cup pass off me. If it be possible," he said, "nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done." So the Holy Spirit is the revealer of the will of God. You can start out life having all kinds of ambitions, and there's nothing wrong with that, except that when you submit your destiny to his editing, he begins to gravitate you sometimes towards paths you never planned to go, but that is where your glory resides. You may start your journey intending to be a great doctor, a great engineer, and that is wonderful. Eventually, as you walk with him with every sense of love, he now begins to gravitate you towards a path, sometimes a path that no one in your family has followed. Virgin dimensions that looks like you are going nowhere, except that you will stumble into glory that your children's children will eat from. It is true. He can reveal the word of God. He can reveal the will of God. Studying scripture without his influence will only lead you to a lot. If you study the Bible without the leadership of the Holy Spirit, all you are going to stumble across is annoying scriptures that contradict themselves. That is all you are going to find there. Do not be over righteous. And a demon spirit came from the Lord. A lying spirit. You read all those kinds of ideas. What kind of a God is this? I mean, you say God is love and God killed this one. That's all you will study. It takes the Holy Spirit to bring perspective. If someone let me say amen. Please shout amen again. Yes, sir. Many people have attempted to read the Bible like a novel. Now, in truth, the Bible is an archaeological book. The Bible is a literature book. The Bible is a historic book. So you can find all of those schools of thought there. That is the reason why the Bible must be both opened and the seals unlocked. Just because you open your Bible does not mean the seal has been unlocked. No. It must be both opened and the seals unlocked. If the seals are not unlocked, you are only going to see English or history or archaeology. It is when the seals are unlocked, you will now begin to see a mysterious cohesion. Scripture joining with scripture, and it will now begin to make sense. Is God helping someone? Holy Spirit, why am I here? I'm tired of escorting men around the corridors of destiny. I need to find perspective and bearing for my life. Spirit of the living God, would you show me the path to my life? And you open the word in the place of prayer, and it comes. Jeremiah, while you were yet in your mother's womb, before thou camest forth, 1 verse 5, it says, I called you and I ordained you to be a prophet to the nations. And the young Jeremiah said, but I am a child. He says, say not I am a child. Do not say I am a child. Wherever I send you to and whatever I ask you to say, that you will do. Hallelujah. Many people are living their lives. Do you know? Psychologists teach us, And this is a very intelligent church. Psychologists teach us that one of the principal factors that sponsor fulfillment is a sense of progress. Am I right on that? That the moment you find out that your life is stagnated and pegged at a level, you know you are stagnated when the only thing growing in your life is your age. If the only thing growing in your life is your age, eventually you will be frustrated, because the human being was not designed to live in that state of perpetual stagnation. Psychologically speaking, there are six fundamental factors that translate to fulfillment. Number one is called security. Number two is called variety. Number three is called significance. Number four is called growth. Number five is called achievement or accomplishment. Number six is called love and acceptance. You only find fulfillment when these things, these factors work together within your life. So if you are bankrupt of any of these, eventually you will be frustrated. Our world today is full of angry, jealous, bitter, frustrated people because number one, they have no sense of security. Their lives is full of a lot of boredom, no excitement. Are we together? There's no sense of significance that comes by reason of the value that they provide. And naturally, there's a lot of rejection. It's the worst thing that can happen to any human being, to be rejected. And then there is no sense of growth. There is no sense of impact and contribution. As a result, they are frustrated. The Bible says a broken spirit can dry up the bones. That a person can literally be sick of frustration. Listen, I want you to begin to look to the Holy Spirit to give your life value and meaning. It's the reason why people begin to resort to all kinds of satanic and demonic things as they join cult groups, they join all kinds of things. Are we together? So that we will not lose a generation because they are all around trying to look for fulfillment. The Holy Spirit is the revealer of the will of God. There are many apostles and prophets and pastors roaming around the streets of nowhere, wasting their lives and their destinies. There are many Esthers and Deborahs, many people who should be making destiny count, serving the purposes of God and being a blessing to humanity. But many have not trusted the Holy Spirit enough to reveal the will of God and the word of God. I'm standing here today as a testament that He is able to reveal the will of God. He can bring beauty and glory out of your life from nowhere to a place of grace. Is someone learning? Yes, sir. Number three, we have to wrap up. The Holy Spirit is the revealer of the word. I didn't have the time to give you all the scriptures. You may want to write one under point two for reference. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 from verse 9 to 12. Very powerful scripture connected to that point. 1 Corinthians 2, 9 to 12. The Bible says that He's able to reveal the will of God. Number three, for sake of time, He is the confirmer of the word. Now I like this. The Holy Spirit does not just guide and direct. The Holy Spirit does not just reveal the word of God and the will of God. He is the confirmer of the word. What does it mean to confirm? To give it life. To insist that what the speakings of God do not look like a lie in your life. To bring performance to the speakings of God. The Holy Spirit is the confirmer of the word. In Mark chapter 16 and verse 20, the Bible says, and they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord walking with them and confirming not their word, confirming the word with signs following. Confirming the word with accompanying signs, New King James says. Confirming the word. Every time God speaks concerning your life, every time pastor stands here to declare over you, the confirmer of that word is the Holy Spirit. No wonder He had to appear before God said. The union of the Spirit and the spoken word is what produces the miraculous. God, by His Spirit, was already hovering around. And then God said, and there was, and He saw that it was good. If you want to see that it is good, then ensure the Holy Spirit is there before you begin to speak. The confirmer of the word. The confirmer of the word. If I declare upon you and I say, in Jesus' name be healed, in Jesus' name may doors open. If it ever happens, the agency that is responsible for that performance is the Holy Spirit. And hallelujah, He's here in this place. Our speakings, listen, the confidence from which we speak is not ourselves. The Bible already told us that our sufficiency is not of ourselves. It says that our sufficiency is of God who has made us able ministers. The word able there is qualified, up to the task. The word sufficiency means the capacity to rise to the occasion without disappointing. That's the Holy Spirit's assignment. That you will say, in the name of Jesus, I will feed my mother, my father, and my siblings in their lifetime. And they may laugh while you are saying it, because it looks like nothing around you looks like the word of God there. But the Holy Spirit begins to confirm. And there are many ways He does that. Generally speaking, all blessings come from God through men to men. So God begins to navigate people, circumstances that work for your favor. And in no time, that rejected stone. Someone, lay your hands on your head if you can in 1 minute and declare that in the name of Jesus, every word that has come over your life, the Spirit of God is confirming it. Someone go ahead, lay your hands on your head and declare. Are you praying in the name of Jesus? Someone declare, 10 years ago, a prophetic word came over my life. The Holy Spirit is still able to bring it to pass. You are brooding over every darkness. You are causing light to shine from darkness. The Holy Ghost is brooding over every darkness. You are causing light to shine from darkness. No matter the situation, brooding over every darkness. You are causing light to shine from darkness. Listen, don't be surprised that after this conference, fire falls on you, and you who was an ordinary person, by the end of this year, you are a man of God that nations are placing a demand upon. Don't be surprised that whilst you are here, you do not even have a single house of your own. And by the end of this year, do not neglect prophecy, not when the Holy Ghost is there to confirm it. Listen. The Holy Ghost came upon a virgin. She said, how shall these things be, seeing that I know not a man? I was never taught as a young teenage girl that a woman could be pregnant, a virgin could be pregnant without a man. And Gabriel said, leave that to the office of the Holy Ghost. He knows how to confirm the word. Yours is just to believe it. The power of the highest is past shall overshadow you. Don't be surprised that you are in debt right now to the millions and to the billions, not even knowing how you will come out. And yet the Spirit of the living God is the Holy Ghost, Spirit of the living God. Hey. You're the Holy Ghost, scepter of the King of Kings. You're the Holy Ghost, seal of the age to come. He's changing everything in obedience to Christ. For someone here, He's recreating everything in obedience to Christ. It's in obedience to Christ. In obedience to Christ. My destiny. In obedience to Christ. What God has said is what stands. While we look not at the things that are seen, but the things that are unseen. The Bible says, for the things that are seen are temporal, but the things that are unseen are eternal. It must be in obedience to Christ.
In obedience to Christ.
Hallelujah. The Spirit of the living God, the confirmer. If you have not seen it come to pass, you do not worry. There is someone behind the scene. He's a master at turning chaos to light. working on your body, working on your finances. He says, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be like. He is the confirmer of the word of God. This is why we speak over lives, we speak over destinies, and we speak over nations. Not knowing the Holy Spirit will make us sound like we are just arrogant people making empty confessions, except that there is a covenant. He has vowed to bring performance to the things that we speak. And in the name of Jesus, let me speak over someone here, that every door that has been closed over your life and your destiny, I stand by this mantle of Jesus upon our lives, and I command that door, Ephata, be open. I command that door be open right now, in the name of Jesus Christ. Listen, I want you to be sensitive. We are going to pray. We are almost done. For the sake of time, I will just give you two more very quickly. Right, please. The Holy Spirit represents the voice of God to the believer. The fourth ministry of the Holy Spirit is that he represents the voice of God to the believer. In 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1, Paul was mentoring his son in the gospel, Timothy, and here's what he has to say. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly. Please read with me the first four words you can see projected there. Ready? One, two, read. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly. One more time. The Holy Spirit speaks. He does not just do. The Bible says the Holy Spirit speaketh expressly. That in the latter times, it says, some shall depart from the faith and shall give heed to seducing spirits and the doctrine of demons. But the point I'm pointing out is that he said now, not yesterday, not tomorrow. Now, the Spirit speaketh expressly. The Bible says God, who in sundry times and diverse manners spake to us in the time past through the prophets, had in these last days spoken to us through his Son, whom he hath appointed to be heir over all things. And that Son, the Spirit of God, has come as a continuation of that ministry of the Son. The Holy Spirit speaks. He represents the voice of God to the believer. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 29. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 29. Let's read it together if you are a Christian. Ready? One, two, read. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith. To who? The Holy Spirit does not just speak anyhow. He's speaking to the church. There are things that he tells everybody, but there are things he's speaking to the church. This one is to the church. He that hath an ear, there is a kind of ear that you need to hear him. Because he was speaking to people who had ears. But he said there is a kind of ear you will need to hear him. He that hath an ear, meaning nobody has that kind of ear. It's not everybody that has that kind of ear. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. Now, this will be my final point, and then we'll pray. I believe with all my heart, this is one of the reasons why Jesus sent me here to this church tonight. The Holy Spirit, please write, is the custodian of the power of God. The Holy Spirit is the custodian of the anointing. Administering the power of God resides within the office of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the custodian of the power of God. The Holy Spirit is the custodian of the power of God. In Isaiah chapter 61, the Messianic prophecy, it says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me. Then he begins to list a number of possibilities that happen because he has now come, even with his anointing. It says, to preach glad tidings to the meek, to proclaim liberty to the captives. You don't listen. It takes more than a sincere heart. It takes more than kindness to produce supernatural possibilities in this kingdom. Possibilities in this kingdom are sponsored by the power of the Holy Spirit. You can be well-intentioned. You can be sincere, like many believers are. But it takes more than sincerity to command certain dimensions of results. To proclaim liberty to the captives. He has anointed me, verse 2. He says, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God. Verse 3 says, to comfort all who mourn. You see that it takes more than compassion to comfort those who mourn. It takes power to comfort those who mourn. Yes, please. It says to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion. I like this. It says to give them beauty. Look up. Do you know the power of God can make beauty as a gift? You can give a man beauty and say, I look at your life and all I see is shame and reproach. I can give you by the power of God beauty for ashes. Joy. The oil of joy for mourning. The garment of praise for heaviness. Then he says that they might be called trees or oaks of righteousness, the planting of our God, that he might be glorified. Jesus read this in Luke chapter 4. And when he read it, the Bible says he looked straight at them. He had come as the fulfillment of that prophecy. And he closed the book. And he said, this day, the Bible says their eyes were all fastened at him. And he saw a man with a withered hand at the congregation. And he said, Mr. Man, stand up, stretch your hands. In Luke 13, when we get there, we see a woman who had been bent over. Are we still Bible students? Bent over for 18 years, the Bible says. And Jesus looks at this dear woman and says, woman, you are loose from your infirmity. Lays his hands upon her. He couldn't do that as a baby. He ran away as a baby. He couldn't do that as a teenager. 18 years of his life, he was silent. From age 12, we do not hear about Jesus again. Next time we hear about him is a 30-year-old man coming to be ordained by John. He couldn't do that until the Holy Ghost came. Even the Word incarnate needed to be anointed. The Bible says in Acts chapter 10 and verse 38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, the Bible declares, that he went about doing good and healing how many? All they that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. For God was with him. For God was with him. When Jesus sends the disciples in Acts chapter 10 and verse 1. Let's read verse 1, then we jump to 7 and 8 for sake of time. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 1. He's commissioning the 12 now. Matthew 10 verse 1. Then we'll run to verse 7. Matthew 10. When he had called unto them the 12 disciples, the Bible says, he gave them power. What did he give them? Listen, when you meet Jesus, he will not just give you a message alone. He does not just give people messages alone. He gives them power. He says power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sicknesses and all manner of diseases. Verse 7, he now charged them. He said, as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand, but don't stop with a sermon. They will not believe you. It says, prove the validity of that sermon by healing the sick, by cleansing the lepers, raising the dead, casting out devils. Freely you have received, freely give. Is that in your Bible? In Acts chapter 8 and verse 5, the Bible says Philip went down to Samaria. Is that in your Bible? That Philip went down to Samaria and he preached Christ unto them. The next verse says the people with one accord, they gave heed to the things that he spake, hearing and seeing. In the kingdom we do not hear alone. You must hear and see. There is an experience to the kingdom. You can taste and see that the Lord is good. The Bible says, hearing and seeing the miracles that he did. What were the miracles? For unclean spirits, crying with a loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them, and many that were taken with palsies, that were lame, were healed. As a result, there was great joy great joy. This is the fullness of joy in that city. Hallelujah. Is that Acts 19:15? I hope I'm not wasting your time. We're about to pray. Acts 19:15, please give it to us. Romans 19:15? I'm trying to look for it. That he went about down to Illyricum. He said, I have fully preached the gospel. Please look for it. 15:19 or 19:15. The scripture just came to my heart and I want us to find it. I want to show you something very powerful about the manifestation of the power of God. God bless you. 15:19. Let's read together if you're a Christian. Ready? One, two, read. Through mighty signs and wonders. By the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and round about unto Illyricum, I have fully. That means if you preach a gospel that is not backed by the power of the Holy Ghost, you did not fully preach. The fullness of the gospel is the message and the power. The message and the power. The message and the power. God heals, then you see healing. God lifts men, then you see liftings. God restores, then you see restoration. That is the fullness of the gospel. The Holy Spirit, the great power of God. Micah chapter 3 and verse 8. It says, I am full of power by the Spirit of the Lord. I am full of power by the Spirit of the Lord. I am full of power. I am full of power. Someone prophesy to yourself. I am full of power by the Spirit of God. Please take it down for me. I am full of power by the Spirit of God. Preacher, don't preach without power. You will only be angry. I promise you, no matter how sincere you are, your heart will be filled with compassion. I have seen, with all due respect, sincere people who love God propose many things that God can do. But when the time to give performance to the word comes, one of the major things that the Holy Spirit seeks to do in your life is to release that power. The power of the Holy Spirit is not for preachers. Acts chapter 4 and verse 33. Please give it to us as we wrap up. The Bible says, and with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. With great power. It takes power to be a witness. A witness is a validator of a claim. Some of you here are in the judiciary. The assignment of a witness is to prove the truthfulness or otherwise of a statement. And there is no witness that comes alone. He always comes with a token of truthfulness called the evidence. Is that true? He calls us witnesses. And if it is true that we are witnesses, where is the evidence? Where is the evidence that Jesus lifts, heals, delivers, Jesus blesses, he opens doors? And sometimes in the court of law, the judge will tell you your witness is not strong enough to persuade him. You need strong enough witness. If we want to see the world bow to Jesus, we want to see systems and cultures shift to reveal and reflect the glory of God, it will take more than a sincere plea. It will take the power of God. In Acts chapter 1 and verse 7, the apostles now came to Jesus, then disciples, and they said, will you at this time restore the nation of Israel? He said, it is not for you to know the times that the Father has put within his care. Verse 8 says, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. He never said you will be preachers. He never said you will be bankers. The names are just the geography of your witness. The generic name given to all saints, as far as the revelation of Jesus is concerned, is witness. With great power, they gave witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And the Bible declares that great grace was upon them. Can I tell you, there are many of our loved ones who have refused to be saved because they are frustrated by the portrait of our Christian experience. our Christian experience largely, now I'm speaking apostolically, not just to you, I'm speaking to all who are following and who will even follow. There are many, many believers. If you add evidence to your speakings, there will be many things. There are many. Do you know the reason why evangelism is hard in our days? Because this is a world that is desperate for proof. Everything science says, it tries to prove. So people are already used to backing up statements with evidence. When you are speaking to intelligent people, you don't come to propose ideas. In our world, we use statistics and we use data. Is that true? When you say Africa is the poorest nation, they say, prove it. When you say America is the richest nation, they say, prove it. For someone, God is, he brought you to this conference to tell you it's time to begin to prove the validity in your office. It's time to begin to prove the validity of the things that you believe. For many years you have been saying God can change people's story. It has become like a statement with no power. But the day it happens through your life, then from your life to others. Did you not read what happened in John 4? Ladies and gentlemen, we are Bible students. Jesus meets this woman at the well with five men in her life, the sixth not even being her husband. And Jesus begins a discourse with her. In her arrogance, she thinks he's the eighth man coming. And then they begin the discussion. And she finds out that this man is more interested in her life, her soul. Perceiving he was a prophet, she now brought the matters of worship. And at the end of that, she was marvelously convinced. The Bible says she left everything. That is how powerful the power of God can be. It can make men leave everything. She came to fetch water, and she left water. Who told you they cannot leave what they are doing? It's because there's not enough evidence. You've not convinced them enough to be able to leave what they are doing. To say, I choose Jesus. She ran and told everybody, come see a man. She didn't say, come see Jesus. I don't know his name. I don't care. All I know is, come see a man who told me everything that I had done. The people did not come because they believed. They didn't come because they loved Jesus. They came because of the depth of her witness, her persuasion. When they came and encountered Jesus for himself, they said this about that, the encounter with Jesus. Now we believe, not because of you. It says, for we have seen for ourselves. That someone will look at your life and say, I know from January till April, things were not working well. But I heard you talk about one conference, I don't even know the name. In 1 month, look at 10 years being added to your life. Can I tell you? Please do not make the mistake of saying witness, results, and evidence does not matter in the kingdom. The end of all arguments is the presence of the result. I preached a message last year called Commanding Salvation Over Territories. And in that message, I teach that results are also evangelists. There is a sermon only results can preach. There is a kind of evangelism that your lips is not what should preach it. Results are preachers. And they have their audience. A territory can hear that preacher. I can tell you results preach well. John 4:48. Except ye see miraculous signs and wonders, Jesus said, ye will not believe. The Holy Spirit. This is why God put it in the heart of our Father to bring this topic, to say, listen, the reason why certain things are not happening in my life and your life is because probably we have embraced every other thing. But we have pushed this gracious spirit away. We've left him as the business of apostles and prophets and preachers. What does he know about money, we say? What does he know about raising children, we say? I'm an experienced counselor. Congratulations. It took his breath for you to be that. And he's wise enough to add anything to your life that is not there. The Holy Spirit does not take away from men. He adds. He multiplies. Look what he did with Jesus. Do I need to tell you the great men in the Bible, ordinary men, weak men. He says, time will fail me to talk of men like Gideon and Jephthah and Barak, men who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness. Women received their dead back to life. They shut the mouth of lions. It is by faith, but it was through the Spirit. Through the Spirit. It is by Him that we leap over a wall. It is by Him that we run through a troop. Every time you see extraordinary exploits in the life of an individual, it is impossible to credit a certain threshold of results just to intellect. Now my story, and we end. I began my pursuit loving the Lord, even though I came from a background of missionaries. People who loved the Lord. My grandfather happened to be the first trustee of one of the great denominations in the north. And you would think just having that rich heritage of a Christian background would automatically translate to an excelling life. No, that did not happen. I got to a point where the more I read my Bible, I started asking questions. I asked preachers. I asked several people questions. And people nicely and diplomatically just dodged away the question. And that's one of the ways that destiny cries. It leaves you with questions that your lifetime will be the answer. Days turned to weeks, and I began to explore the life and the materials of men who were producing the kind of result that looked like what the Bible was saying. Because the Bible says to follow them. There are some them who have obtained what you are looking for. And I remember among the many encounters that I had, some of you have heard them in my teachings, but I'll just bring one for the purpose of this discussion. My apologies for stretching you on your time. So, I'm on my way going for a crusade, and Red Hat Bunker is the person doing the preaching of blessed memory. I was already preaching, and God was already using me. But you see, there is a kind of hunger that when you have, it swallows up all your achievements, and it makes it look like you've not started anything. That is the spirit of a champion. The arrival mentality is why many people remain as mediocres. Champions always act like they've not started. It is the character of all champions. The passion to press. At the end of his life, he said, forgetting the things that are behind and reaching forth for the things that are before me, he said, I press. The apostle speaking. So I went for Reinhard Bonnke's crusade, desperately searching for an encounter with the Holy Spirit. The bits that I had seen and gotten, my own encounters, several other gifts in the body who had blessed me. And in that crusade, we stood there the first day with the simplicity, childlike faith. He preached, and mighty miracles, supernatural manifestations of the power of God. And I said, this is it. Transformation is difficult until you have a reference. You can't change into nothing. There must be something. There must be an individual that personifies what you are attempting to become. Even if you desire to be greater, you have to first attain onto that level before you go greater. By the second day, I made up my mind, because I understand that one of the laws of impartation is that it answers to honor. Honor to both God and the careers. You never receive from a colleague. Colleague mentality is why many people never receive in the body of Christ. And so I made up my mind, didn't have any much money to give him, wouldn't even have access to him. But then I said, at least let me serve. And here's what I did. Crowds of people already coming. I saw them wheeling people on wheelchairs and sick people. And I said, let me sow this seed of honor by helping the people, and let me wheel them in the front. And while I requested that they allow me wheel, they said I was not part of the committee. I said, what committee? You don't know where I traveled from. Committee? You are joking. I came here with desperation and hunger. And as I pushed those people to the front, I said, Lord, this is how you will honor my meetings too. The Bible says, and without all contradiction, he said, the less is blessed of the greater. There's a reason why I'm telling you this story. And I stood there for 6 hours, standing, hungry but determined, tired but determined, until your future becomes greater than your today, you are not qualified to get there. You have to be able to endure and stretch yourself from border to border. I stood there, my face fixed upon that man, and he preached a very annoyingly simple message with respect to the kind of passion I brought for that crusade ground. I brought to that crusade ground. Simple message. And when he was done, he was going to take a cup of water to now start ministering the baptism. And here's why I told you this story now. My eyes were open for the first time. I was not strange to visions by that time. God had helped me. But then that would be the first time, the visible manifestation of the Holy Spirit. My eyes were open, tens of thousands of people on that crusade ground. And then I see this giant bird, without exaggeration, it would be as big as this auditorium, hovering round, completely white and glistening. I thought everybody was seeing it. What kind of a bird is this? And it had like bands, like silvery bands. It was not flying, it was soaring. I was watching this phenomenal sight. What is happening to me? Someone explain to me. And the Spirit of God, by that encounter, I just went to Genesis chapter 1 from verse 1 and 2. And the Spirit of God hovered round the face of the waters. And listen, I had a voice that said to me, the union between the movement of the Spirit and the spoken word is what produces the miraculous. It was not just something I read in my Bible. By the time I returned from that vision, I had backed the stage. I didn't even know when I turned. From that day, among many other phenomenal experiences, my life changed. Because I said, I do not want to bring a gospel I cannot prove. I read the stories of T.L. Osborne. I read the stories of Papa Hagen. Those who have joined the cloud of witnesses today. These men have handed the baton, and I made up my mind that in my lifetime, my generation will not fail. That we will stretch ourselves from border to border. Someone is sitting listening to me, and this same cry is welling up within your spirit. Help them, please. I'm speaking by the Spirit of God, because the anointing of the Spirit right now is going to begin to rest on people. I want you to please bring them out right now. Just a few minutes and we're done. I'm stretching my hands. Please bring them out. There is a reason I ask that they come out. I sense in my spirit that there are even women after the order of Deborah. There are mantles. Help them, please. I introduce to you the paraclete of the Father. I introduce to you the Spirit of grace, the maker of men. Please, whether you an usher or not, help them. Palike parike toskete balako, krante parika toskia tabash. I'm praying. Listen, I'd like you to be very, very sensitive. Something is going to happen that will change your life. The Lord is telling me there are some of you, He has shown you dreams. He has shown you visions. You've seen yourself doing mighty things. But the issue is the mantle and the grace to walk this thing. Let me now begin to pray according as the Lord is leading me. The first prayer point right now is that there are people who the mantle for prayer and supplication, the art of holding on to the horns of the altar. Where are they? I stretch my hands. Receive that impartation now. Bring them out. Take that grace now. Take that grace now. Let that anointing rest upon you in the mighty name of Jesus. From the choir to the congregation, I open up your spirit. Let the fountain of the deep begin to gush out from your spirit. In the name of Jesus Christ. Men and women like Anna the prophetess that will pray revival down upon fountain of life, upon Nigeria and Africa. I want to pray for someone here. There are apostolic and prophetic mantles hovering around the earth, hovering around Africa and Nigeria in this end time is playing a strange role. I want to release that grace. I don't know who, but I'm seeing the number 11. 11 people. Receive that grace right now. I stretch my hands. Take that grace. Bring them out. Take that grace. In the mighty name of Jesus. You will see men of fire rise from fountain of life, old and young together, catch fire by the Spirit of the living God, preaching the gospel with proof, the evidence of signs and wonders. Now hear me. For those of you who have listened to my recent teachings, I've been heralding, sir, the Lord revealed to me that one of the graces that is being restored to the body of Christ is the healing mantle. I know we may have seen pockets of healing, but it looked like when a generation of fathers left, it looked like there was a gap in the healing ministry. And just a few people here and there. And everywhere I have traveled, there has been a clarion call. Mantles don't leave the earth. These mantles are still on earth. And even in this place tonight, I know there is someone, maybe not everybody. I want to stretch my hands. Fire is coming on certain people right now. It's the healing mantle for the end time. Father, where are they? I decree and declare, receive that grace right now. Men and women, I ignite you with that fire of healing. Please don't be tired. We're wrapping up. Please hold and bring for me two people right now. One gentleman and one lady. They will begin to run by the anointing. Hold them so they don't injure themselves and bring them out. We have not come to you with cunningly devised fables. There is a pastor that is watching. The Lord is revealing to me there is a pastor. You are in Lagos here. You pastor a ministry. You are an overseer. You are watching and you have been crying for this healing mantle. This is what God is revealing to me. And it's not just for self-aggrandizement. In the name of Jesus, I pray for you. May that grace rest upon you now. Now hear me, please. Please listen. There's a reason why I ask that these people come out. Bring a lady for me right now who is going to shout a loud shout to the hearing of everybody. Please bring her out. This is by the Spirit. A very loud shout. Bring her out. Now listen, please. Hear me. When the anointing of the Holy Spirit comes upon your life, you will never, never, never be ordinary. There are many of us, mothers, fathers, young people. Hear me, Fountain of Life. There is a dimension of grace that God wants to deposit, even concerning the new that He's doing in this church. I'm telling you this by prophecy. Because I sense in my spirit that much prayer has been going on in this church. There is a season ending in this church and a new season beginning. Hear what I'm telling you. I'm speaking this to you by the Spirit of God. There is a season ending. And it is the ministry of prayer and intercession that is going to usher in the new season. I'm telling you this by the Spirit of God. From the choir to all the departments, God will start stirring it in the hearts of people. You will see young men rise with fire. People of power and grace. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Please, can you spare me 5 more minutes? Hallelujah. 5 more minutes. Who is? I'm hearing a name, Lakon. Lakon, come. Your life is about to change.
Elohim Adonai. Elohim Adonai. Elohim Adonai.
Please hear me, ladies and gentlemen. Sadly and unfortunately, I know that the prophetic and the apostolic in parts of this nation and around the world has been abused with all kinds of things. Please make no mistake to think everybody is like everybody. There are people who have been forged from the furnace of affliction. There are people who have walked with God, and the price they gave for all of God is all of themselves. Are we together now? I'm saying this so you do not think when you see a manifestation of power, miracles, you just think everybody. No, there are people who love God sincerely. What do you do, my friend? Huh? This man, what do you do?
I don't have a job at the moment.
I want to pray for you because you are a mighty savior. Listen, God is going to use you for the sake of your family. You love the Lord sincerely, but I'm going to pray for you because I'm seeing all kinds of satanic manifestations around your life. Please just lend me 5 minutes. There are 2 things I need to do by the Spirit before I step out of this place. My friend, can I pray for you? Who is Victoria? Victoria. I'm hearing a name, Victoria. Victoria. Is there someone like that? Please make sure you don't tell lies. We're serious people here. Hallelujah.
I know the lion. I know the lamb. I believe in the lion. I believe in the Lamb, and I will follow the Lion. I follow the Lamb. I know the Lion.
Something is happening to two of you. Two of you that came out here. There is an anointing that is coming upon you, and that oppression. The Bible says, now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. My friend, look at me. Don't cry. God sent you here. Look at me. I'm speaking to you by the Spirit. Remember ye not the former things, nor consider the things of old. Go and write it. May, June, July, these 3 months, God will change your life in a way that will surprise you. Hallelujah. There is someone here, please don't come out so it does not embarrass you. You are owing. You are owing serious money. And the way it is now, it is only the prophetic that can help you. You are owing money that is depressing you. You've been having issues even with your wife from what God is showing me. But in the name of Jesus, by reason of this conference, we stand as the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we declare, he said, alas, master, for it was borrowed. And he said, where fell it? I prophesy to you, in the name of Jesus Christ, come out of that situation now.
Taking the pain and the sorrow away, you've given me peace undeniable. No need to cry, cause you're always with me. You're my Father, my everything. Oh, my
oh, that will be someone's song in the Spirit. Hallelujah. Now, I want to pray for you. The Bible says, blotting out every handwriting. Please listen. And I'm saying this with every sense of responsibility. Sir, as I came in and I sat down here, you notice I just sat quietly here. Because there is a way God reveals things to me. As soon as that door was open, I was hearing the sounds of chains. And when I hear, listen, when I hear the sounds of chains, it just is a prophetic way of showing me that there are destinies here that have been tied by reasons that you may not know why you are doing all you are doing. The Bible said they are taken for a prey and none stayeth restored. I'm about to pray right now. If God be God, I come by this mantle and by the Spirit of the living God. At the count of three, I want you to shout the name Jesus. And fire will come upon you. Everything that is not of God, it must give way. Are you ready, fountain of life? At the count of three. One, two, three. Shout Jesus. I declare, be free now. Be free now. I break you free from every ordinance of darkness. I release you now. Help them, please. Blotting out every handwriting, yokes of witchcraft and ancestry and bloodline, be broken now. Be broken. Hallelujah. Please don't be embarrassed. I'm seeing a woman here. You've been trusting God for the fruit of the womb. This is what God is showing me. I'm seeing the number four, like 4 years. You are trusting God. Who is that? Make sure you are married. Come.
Lord, you took my pain away, and then you gave me joy. You're my peace, my melody, in the center of the storm. You gave me a brand new song to sing to you. That's why I will lift up my voice and say, yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Listen, in this church we will celebrate children in the mighty name of Jesus. Those trusting the Lord, can I pray for them, sir? In the name of Jesus, the power of God is coming on one of you who came out here. I just saw it now in a vision right now as I speak. I just saw fire coming on one of you who is standing in fruit of the womb. In the name of Jesus, I don't care what the medical situation is, I want to pray for you. I'm seeing two of you, I'm seeing like chains just around your stomach. I decree and declare right now, every demonic thing that has tied you here at Fountain of Life, at this word explosion, be released now. Be released now. Be released now. Release them now. Help them, please. Release them now. I curse that spirit. Release them now. In the name of Jesus. Release them now. By the power of the Holy Ghost. Release them now. In the name of Jesus. Hear me. As Eli prophesied to Hannah, as Elijah prophesied to the woman in Shunem, I speak to you according to the time of life. Return with your miracle children.
Hallelujah. If you are trusting God for healing, this will be the last thing I'll do for sake of time. Please, I want you to lay your hand wherever you are trusting God for. If you have never believed in a miracle in your life, give God a chance this once. Miracles are not fake. I'm a product of the healing power of Jesus. I wish I had time, I would have told you my own situation. Sometimes one of the ways God prepares you to be a blessing is to give you an opportunity to pass through the afflictions you'll be helping people from, so that you can have the compassion to minister to them. There is a woman here, you are already pregnant. I need to pray for you. I'm seeing a report that is not good. I'm not a prophet of doom. You are already pregnant. I'm seeing pregnancy. In the name of Jesus, who is the Son of the living God, anything that wants to destroy your life and that of your baby, out of her now! Out! In the name of Jesus. Let that be the end of it. For the Bible says, now the Lord is that Spirit. Please lay your hands. I want to pray. We may not have the time to take testimonies, but do feel free to testify during the conference. And for those of you who are watching across the nations of the earth, here is an opportunity to be healed. No matter how long it has been, He gave us the power to bring the life of Jesus to as many. If it's a part of your body you cannot touch, just make contact with your chest and you can stand in for someone, your spouse, your children. I'm seeing someone lifting photos there. You can stand in for someone. For you are glorious and worthy to be praised. You are the Lamb. Help them. Please keep your hands. You are great. Don't sing. You do miracles so great. There is no one else. Ah, the healing power of Jesus is moving across this place. There is no one else like you. You are great. You do miracles so great. There is no one else like you. There is no one else. I'm about to pray. A lady is going to shout a loud shout to the hearing of everybody. Immediately after that shout, the healing power of God will begin to move. Father, in the name of Jesus, every spirit of infirmity, every devil of darkness masquerading itself as a medical condition, the Bible declares that He went about healing all they that were oppressed. I command that spirit to let you go now. And now in the name of Jesus, I bring you life, life to your body. Peptic ulcer, be healed now. Bone conditions, be healed now. There is a lady here, I'm seeing you have an issue of blood. You don't have to come out. Literally, an issue of blood. This is a draining, embarrassing situation. In the name of Jesus, wherever you are, I command that demonic thing to stop now. There's someone, you have a problem with your heart. You cannot lie down on this side of your chest to the bed. You are going to have excruciating pain. In the name of Jesus, I declare healing for you now. Asthma, be healed now. Total blindness, partial blindness, be healed now. There's someone you are having severe pain just at your back, the lumbar area. In the name of Jesus Christ, be healed right now. There's a woman, your right breast, you've been having severe pain and you've been afraid to go to the hospital because you are hoping it does not become anything that, you know, something funny. You don't want to hear any report, but you've been having very severe pain. I don't care what the situation is. In the name of He who died and rose from the dead, let that pain leave you now. I'm seeing, I don't know if it's a gentleman now or a lady, you have a very embarrassing skin condition. This is something, I don't know, it's like, it looks like eczema, but it's not eczema. You've been trying to treat it. Right now, the power of God is coming upon you. I declare, be healed now. Be healed now. There is a man here, you have a medical condition that is common to men. In the name of Jesus, I am praying for you.
the Lord gives you a miracle right now. There is a lady whose hair falls, you know, just like a cancer patient. You are losing your hair, and it's even beginning to surprise you. You've discussed this with your mother. This is what I'm seeing. By the power that raised Christ from the dead, your healing comes right now. Now, whether I mention your case or not, in the name of Jesus, the Son of the Living God, be healed now. Hallelujah. Now, I listen carefully. I want to charge you by the Spirit of God that you take the time to listen to this teaching again, even including the prayer, and pray for yourself and for your loved ones, and you will marvel and wonder at what God does to your life. Would you spare me a minute to speak favor over your life? I don't know how people live without it. In fact, it is impossible to live without it. The proof of favor is not money. No. Money is the proof of value, not favor. The proof of favor is the tripartite coexistence of unusual kindness, unusual access, and unusual acceptance. When these tripartite forces are working in the life of a man, you truly carry the favor of God. Exodus chapter 3 and verse 21, "And I will give these people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, and it shall come to pass that as ye go, ye shall not go empty." Esther chapter 2 and verse 15, the B part says, "And Esther obtained favor in the sight of all them that looked upon her." Verse 17 of the same chapter 2, it says, "And the king loved Esther above or more than all the virgins, the women, and she obtained grace." He now set a royal crown. Can I tell you the truth? There is truly a grace for favor. That it, when the grace for favor comes upon you, it is only a blind man that cannot bless you. But for as long as a person looks at you, they are compelled by God to express unusual kindness, unusual acceptance, unusual access. I release my faith with our father and pastor here to speak over someone. Maybe it's been a wilderness for you. You've been trusting God to come out of shame and reproach. In the name of Jesus, the one who gave gifts to men, from the depth of my heart I speak, carry this grace for favor. Carry this grace for favor. Favor in your business, favor in your family, favor in your career, favor in your church, in the name of Jesus Christ. Let it begin to work for you. And for all of you who are out here, I stretch my hands. I pray for you and I declare you will return with testimonies to the glory of the name of the Lord. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you. My conscience will not allow me if I go without doing this. Please, my apologies. I want to make an altar call. Please, let's minimize movement. I believe in Jesus. I will not sleep sound if I walk away from this place without giving someone an opportunity. In every meeting, even in a conference like this, there will always be someone who is ready to win that war, who is ready to make a decision for Jesus. Listen very carefully. The matter of Jesus is not the matter of church and Christianity and religion. No. Jesus came to give us life. There are two groups of people I'm going to call very quickly. Our time is gone. Number one, those who are saying, "Apostle, Fountain of Life, if you will give me an opportunity, I truly want to make it right with Jesus. I do not want to die in my sin. I want my soul saved." Number two, those who are saying, "I remember making this call, but for some reason my life has gone haywire, and I cannot truly say I have a functional relationship with this Jesus.
I told you in order of priority, the first and the noblest encounter that any man can have in this side of God's kingdom is an encounter with Jesus, the Son of the living God. The Bible says, neither is there salvation in any, for there is none other name given unto men by which we must be saved. I will count 1 to 5. We have just a minute for this. Wherever you are, I want you to be bold. I want you to be serious. I want you to be sincere. To leave your seat and come and stand right here. I count 1 to 5. Don't wait for anybody to be the first. This is between you and the Lord Jesus. There is one person who must come out here. I begin my counting now. 1. Come. Run to Jesus.
I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour.
Don't kneel, please stand for space.
Come bless me now, my Savior. I come.
3. If you're coming, run.
I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour, I need thee. Come bless me now, my Savior.
I thank you and I salute you for your courage. Jesus said, if you reject me before men, I will reject you. I will deny you before my Father. May I please request for those who are making this call online, maybe you are following online or watching by way of a rebroadcast, here's an opportunity to make Jesus Lord of your life. And for those of you who are in front here, may I please request that you lift your right hand high above your head as a sign of surrender. And please say this after me. Say, Lord Jesus, tonight I have heard your word. I love you with all my heart. I believe that you died for me. I believe that you rose again for my justification. Right now, I receive Jesus into my heart as my Savior, my Lord, and my King. I declare that the power of sin, Satan, hell, and the grave is broken over my life. I am a child of God. Amen. Father, thank you for these ones. I pray in the name of Jesus, by the authority of Scripture, that their sins are forgiven. I call you bona fide recipients of the life of God. And I declare that from tonight until forever, you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, and you walk in victory to the glory of the name of the Lord. Amen and amen. May I please request that you just move straight. There's someone waving his hands. All of you in concert, let's honor them as they go. God bless you. Fountain of Life, thank you so much. May the Lord bless you. Thank you so much, sir.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Don't go yet.